Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Red Zone on Cards Radio 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's.
Holy crap. I don't know who the hell we think we are.
My wife can score more than 2 buckets on 11 shots.
The kids are playing their tail off and the coaches are screwing it up.
Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
They're supposed to be mature adults, but they're really not. Who's the kid here? Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me?
Now here's your host, Nick Coffey.
Let's do this. It's a Friday. I just felt like clapping. Sometimes you get into a mood. The feeling overcomes you, and you just feel like you need to give, just clap it up. Matt Allen, when's the last time you clapped for something? When's the last time you gave a round of applause? Other than every day after I finish the show, he gives me a standing O. But have you, I imagine you don't seem like a big clapper. I imagine it takes a lot for you to just feel the need to rise and just give it a hand.
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
I'm the one clapping, not Matt, by the way. But anyways, let's do this. You are in the Red Zone. We are fueled by Thorns. My name is Nick Coffey, the marvelous Matt Allen alongside today. You guys know the drill. You hear me say it over and over. And it is because of our great partnership with Thorns, but mostly it's because I couldn't go on not letting everybody that I know about all the reasons why you should be a Refreshment Rewards member at Thorns. That's right. It's the Summer Cash Bash going on right now, which means each week they're giving away $10,000 to one lucky winner each week. And then one winner throughout the summer is going to win a brand new 2022 Chevy Tahoe. So again, we are fueled by Thorns. I was out and about yesterday, and sure enough, they broke ground. At least I think. I don't even know. What does break ground mean? I know they're putting, does it mean like they literally started putting it together, I suppose? So I guess maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. But I know the location that's in the works. Maybe they haven't actually broke ground. But at the corner of Shepherdsville Road and Fern Valley Road, another Thorns is popping up because Thorns is the best. They're everywhere. Nearly 50 locations in the Kentuckian area, which means if you are in the Kentuckian area, there's likely one close to you. All right, 502-653-0790. That is the text line. Love to hear from you guys this morning. Keep them coming. Been a really good week on the text line. A lot of interaction. And I think what makes the text line great is you never know what you're going to get. And, of course, we can filter what we like, what we don't like. And we like any reaction we get, but some stuff just maybe isn't necessarily. I mean, I think some of you text in knowing like it's probably not going to get read on the show. You want to interact and let something be known. But this week, it was a really good back and forth where it just seemed like a good debate. And it wasn't as if it was heated. I think myself and some of you texting in found common ground on the UofL football situation. It's almost like we were going back and forth, sharing different points, and we're kind of in the same spot, but maybe we're coming from a different angle. You know, some of you, of course, accused me of being harsh to Scott Satterfield, and I've made my decision long ago. I like Scott Satterfield. It would be unnatural for me to not want him to do well because I'm a Louisville fan. When Louisville lines up and plays 12 games this upcoming season, it would be unnatural for me not to cheer for them and want them to win because I'm a lifelong Louisville fan. So I want him to do well. I want this to not end up being a big conversation. You know, some of you guys are accusing me of, well, you just want Brahm in here because it would benefit you personally and professionally. Not really. I mean, maybe, but that's, I mean, not to the extent where it would really change a lot for me. So those that think I'm anti-Scott Satterfield, it's not true. And I guess the more I mention that, the more maybe I seem insecure that maybe I'm fearful that it is true. But I know it's not. I want him to do well. And I don't think he's a lousy coach. I just, for those that said that yesterday was nonsense, and there weren't many, but there were a few that said this was not a story. You took the quote from the Alumni Association, Flagey High School thing. You guys know what I'm talking about. We talked about it all day yesterday. I'm not, trust me, we're not going to dive all the way back into this today because we don't need to. But it is a story because of the situation that Scott Satterfield is in year four with it being such a pivotal year. And Jeff is making it a story. That is one thing I will, you know, we didn't really get into this part of it much, but I think it's rather obvious. Jeff Brohm knows what he's doing. He knows he's making life a little, well, I don't know. Who knows how it's impacting Scott Satterfield, but he knows what he's doing. He knows that him saying, you know, anything can happen. I love Louisville. I'm an alum. And, you know, last time, timing wasn't right. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he knows what he's doing. And I mentioned this here and there. I don't know how much attention it got elsewhere, but these two, Scott Satterfield and Jeff Brohm, had not a back and forth, but Scott Satterfield tried to steal one of Brohm's coaches, Ryan Wallace, earlier this offseason. And Wallace ended up staying at Purdue and got a nice contract, and he's got a bright future. He's the son of, I believe the name is Kevin Wallace, the St. X head coach. And that story didn't really get reported, but Scott tried to go get him. And I don't, you know, I'm sure there was a lot to like about Ryan Wallace because he's a young up-and-comer in college football. But I also think that he thought that would be a power move maybe, that, hey, we'll go take an assistant from Purdue and show that, hey, you know, I'm here. And look, maybe that's me just dramatizing it. I'm sure that's part of it. But after that happened, Jeff Brohm went and stole a coach from U of L. And Carl Mikowski, I think is his name, who's now doing special team stuff for them. So, look, the Brohms know what they're doing. That's not me saying that they're desperate to be here, because Jeff is in a great situation at Purdue. Won 8 games last year, beat a lot of good teams, and really doesn't have much pressure at this point. They needed the big year they had last year. They got it. He got a new contract. He'd never come out and say it in these exact words, but as soon as the Louisville job opens up, he's gonna want it. And he's in a good spot because he doesn't have to be desperate to go get it, because, you know, it's not like he's unemployed looking for a gig. So anyways, I just wanted to, for anybody who thinks that's not a story, there's a reason it was talked about everywhere, not just here. I'll put it that way. All right, so some other things we'll get into. It seems as if the ACC is really going to move on from the divisions within football, which I love it. We talked about it earlier this week. I think that's good for fans. I'm sure there are coaches. In fact, it sounds like there's one division. The Coastal likes to keep it the way it is, whereas the Atlantic is more open to it. But regardless of who's open to it, who's not, it sounds like that's the direction that they're going. And they're going to have three permanent opponents for, if in fact this passes, which it sounds like it will, starting next season in 2023. Each ACC team will have three permanent opponents, and the rest will be rotating. So that's three teams you play every year in your conference, and then five that'll just be random. And I love the variety that we're going to get. And it's not stale. It's not the same thing every year. Now, the three opponents will be, but that's all right. I mean, in fact, we can get into that in a moment, because I have three teams that I really, really would prefer to play if I could pick. Now, who knows who it's going to be, but if I could pick three teams Louisville plays annually, I know who I would pick. So we'll get to that coming up here shortly. Also, the Imani Bates situation, there's no real update from him. We know that he's not expected to make a decision until mid-June. And I think people genuinely believe, like, he's already committed to Louisville and he's just coming late. That's not the case. He's not picked Louisville. Now, I think they're in great shape. I think they have a great shot at getting him. But, you know, it's not over yet. And I will admit, if he knows that, like, the program that – let's just say that in Imani Bates's mind, you know, he knows Louisville's where he wants to be, but he's just on his own time and willing to wait and just do his own thing and just show up whenever he wants. Is that a red flag? Maybe. And we've already heard about the baggage that comes with Imani Bates and his handlers and his father and that kind of stuff. But let me just say this. Imani Bates can come whenever. And if it works out, great. If not, I don't think that's going to be an indictment on Kenny Payne at all. I think Kenny Payne is in a really can't-lose situation with this young man, and I'll explain why coming up here in just a few minutes. All right, some other things we'll get into today. The NFL has released the schedules for every team. And I tell you what, I don't have a whole lot of reaction to the schedule because, again, my Colts, you know, their schedule's not exactly newsworthy. They're not a big brand name within the NFL. But what I'm fascinated by is how much people get all hot and bothered just by the schedule release. It speaks to the power that the NFL has. I mean, yesterday, maybe I'm just nerding out on this kind of stuff and you guys probably don't care because I know a lot of you listening aren't on Twitter. But check this out. Matt, you'll find this interesting. Somebody just randomly changed their name on their handle, their Twitter handle, to @NFLGameLeaks, and they put their name as NFL Schedule Leaks. And it was just a general tweet about, hey, I actually have all the schedules. I'm about to release it. Guess how many followers this account got in a matter of 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Somebody would have, you can't just tweet into the ether. So somebody who had some followers would have had to have seen one of these tweets.
Totally agree, but I don't know who it was.
Yeah. I'm going to say in 15 minutes, 5,000.
10,000.
Okay.
People are horned up for the NFL. They are aroused to see the schedule so much so. And again, it's not like they're paying money. They just hit follow. But still, that's like no other league at any level. Like, the schedule's whatever. Now, again, I think most of it is because, one, the NFL is king, but also, football only has so many games. What, 17 games now? So, like, it is when you've got 162 or whatever it is in baseball, is that right? Yeah, and then 82 in NBA, like, nobody cares about the schedule because there's so many games. So the NFL's different in that regard, but the coverage of it, like the NFL Network, I mentioned this yesterday, but these markets around the country that have NFL teams, like they're doing live additional programming to break down the schedule, which, am I wrong? Like, you can give some analysis on the schedule as far as like, wow, look at this 3-week stretch. Well, hey, good thing a bye week comes here. But that's just like as deep as the analysis can go. Am I wrong? Like, it's a schedule. And some teams aren't even fully put together yet. So anyways, I don't have a strong reaction from the NFL schedule itself, but just the amount of buzz it gets is wild to me.
Aren't the Broncos and Seahawks going to be at best okay? I mean, is that first Monday Night Football game all about Russell Wilson, I guess?
Yeah, that's the storyline.
Because otherwise, I mean, the Seahawks weren't good last year, right? Correct?
And they're tanking.
I don't know why they would get a primetime game in week one other than, oh no, is Russell Wilson going to flip the bird at the Seahawks crowd? He's not going
to
do that.
Are they doing two Monday Night games? Because that would make sense to me.
They're doing one.
Okay, I was going to say, that would make sense if they were going to be like the later game because it's on the
West Coast. Yeah.
No, but yeah, that's why, because of that storyline. I mean,
it's a storyline, but I'd rather have a better game.
Sure. Yeah. And the NFL has some really good storylines this year. With
Steelers Bengals?
That's a good game.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. That'd be a better Monday Night game than Broncos Seahawks. Are you kidding me?
Especially because we'll see what the Steelers are without Ben.
Right.
And who they decide to go with at quarterback. And yeah, I mean, hell, the Seahawks are.
Chiefs Cardinals, you couldn't put that on Monday night. Both of those are week one games, and they went Broncos Seahawks.
You gave me two really good matchups, and I'm already thinking about what the spread may be.
Jeez,
yeah, and it's all because of Russell Wilson. There's no doubt about it. All right, we also have an updated list here: the rankings of the richest athletes in the world. I always find this fascinating because there's always at least, like in the top 30, there's at least a few, sometimes more, that really blow your mind that they're where they are. Like the money they're making, you're thinking to yourself, how? And I find that fascinating. And then, of course, there's others that are underpaid. Like, for example, I know Lamar Jackson is still on his rookie contract, but the guy's won an MVP. He's one of the more likable players in professional sports, and he's not even in the top 100. And Lamar's not hurting, and he's going to get paid. Make no mistake about it. But Lamar Jackson should be in the top 100 based off of endorsements alone. And I got to wonder, is him not having an agent a factor in that? I mean, Matt, I'm not overreacting, right? Like, agents get you deals and everything. And for Lamar Jackson, who is a star, a made man, he has an MVP trophy. For him not to be one of the top 100 most profitable athletes in America, I just think that's a miss on somebody's end. Mostly these brands that won't align with him. But like, I'm not criticizing Lamar. He's done well for himself. It hasn't really impacted him up to this point. In fact, not having an agent and waiting to the last minute to renegotiate and sign a contract with the Ravens will likely pay off for him, because he's now been able to sit back and see the money that guys like Deshaun Watson's getting. But, like, I just got to think, like, he's a marketable star. And I just, you know, again, I'm not acting like he's poor, but he should be in the top 100, and I didn't see him there unless I just, you know, somehow missed it. Also, Rich Strike chooses not to run. I mean, the horse probably didn't choose to run in anything, because I'm convinced horses don't even know they're in a race. But Rich Strike will not run in the Preakness, and I'm pretty sure this is the first time since I think the mid-80s that a Derby winner that was healthy chose not to run in the second leg of the Triple Crown. So they're going to hold him out for the Belmont. His trainer, who has somehow falling under criticism for, you know, nonsense. But, yeah, they choose not to run him, and it kind of bums me out, because when you've got an underdog that won the Derby at 80-1, I'd love to see what he does in these next two races, but he's only going to race in one of them. Because if, in fact, we got a Triple Crown winner, we're talking about maybe the most improbable. Again, I'm talking out of my rear end because I don't know much about horse racing, but it's got to be one of the more improbable Triple Crown victories ever, which, again, that didn't happen often. If, in fact, he ran in both races, I don't think he would be a Triple Crown winner. But just to see, given the circumstances, that it went off to 80-1, wasn't even in the race until a day before, and the performance. I mean, again, I feel uncomfortable even giving any analysis on a horse race because it's not my lane. But just to see the speed that the horse had and the maneuvering and all that, like, I would love to see. But they choose not to run, which I'll give my friend Mike Rutherford some credit. Phenomenal meme work there, because I didn't think of it, but it's true. The Jerry Seinfeld, is it Duncan Robinson? Not Duncan Robinson, he plays for the Heat. Who's Duncan Duncan? What's Duncan's last name in Seinfeld, Matt? Do you remember? The one who wanted to race Jerry? It's Duncan something.
In 4 years of high school, I would never race anyone again. Not even to the end of the block or to catch a bus. And so the legend grew. Everyone wanted me to race. They begged me. But I answered him in the same way I answered everyone. I choose not to run.
So now Duncan is back.
He's back.
I'm curious how many people even get, like, I don't want to live in a world where people are out there not liking Seinfeld. But have you heard the new thing, Matt? The new fad, the new buzz?
No, what's that?
Seinfeld's one of the worst. It ended up being, after aging so well for so long, it's now one of the most poorly. It's unwatchable. Oof. It's, I mean,
and like, where are you hearing this?
Oh, I think Howard Stern got the ball rolling. He made a comment about it, and it picked up steam. You know what? He's right. Seinfeld is fine, but, like, all these years later, that's a great Howard Stern impression, right?
Sounds exactly like him.
I get angry when people say stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, but just Howard Stern, that's it?
Well, he has influence.
So, I know, but so, I mean, yeah, I think, absolutely I he does. Where, but I mean, is anybody where, else saying
Twitter
it?
Threads and stuff.
What?
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
Damn right. Seinfeld is, I have friends who are like, yeah, you know, I mean, I like it, but I could probably not watch it again and be okay. And I'm like, you shut your dirty mouth. I mean, it's a great show. And there's always things that like this that you can relate to.
Weren't you just talking about yesterday about not telling people, you know, not poo-pooing what people eat? And, right. You know, not,
yeah.
If people don't like Seinfeld, then let them not like Seinfeld. Doesn't
let them be losers.
It doesn't let you enjoy it any less, correct?
Correct. Makes me.
I can't imagine a world for me between now and whenever that I won't like Seinfeld, and that's fine. So, I mean, nothing's going to make me enjoy that any less.
If I only could only watch one show the rest of my life, like if I'm on an island and it's all I got is just this show on a TV, or I'm, you know, I'm in prison, they only give me that, I'm choosing Seinfeld. What would you choose?
Probably.
Can I guess?
Probably Seinfeld.
I think you would choose something like a Seinfeld, because it gives you laughs and it's a good vibe. It's not like a sad drama. I think you'd choose Seinfeld or Curb.
I would choose Seinfeld over Curb.
Okay.
I love Curb, but I would choose Seinfeld over Curb.
Maybe that's a good question to ask people on, because I'm rewatching a show with Tiff now, and I enjoy that. I never thought I would, but Animal Kingdom. I've gone back to season one. There's like five or six seasons of it, and like I don't really remember specifics. I know the overall how things play out, but like the actual it's not like I'm watching it brand new.
Yeah,
and I've seen every episode of Seinfeld as you have, and I know everything that's going to happen. And it doesn't matter. I still find it funny.
Right.
In fact,
it is nice to go back. Some shows, like I've always wanted to go back and rewatch all of Lost, but it's just, if it's over 100 episodes, it's just so much of a time commitment.
Especially with so much new stuff out there to watch.
Right. But I mean, I have rewatched a few shows, and the few that I have completely rewatched, they've been among my favorite of all time. But watching a show that you knew you loved all the way through again is a nice experience.
It's like sex.
Well, I don't know about that.
I said it, not him. It's great. And I find myself at times watching Seinfeld. And the best thing about Seinfeld is there's like three episodes within a 20-minute episode. Like if three things, and you're like, wait a second, those were in the same episode? Jerry was just showing off with how he put the show together, almost like how Bateman did in Ozark.
Well, the first seven seasons, it was both of them.
Larry and him, you mean?
Larry and Jerry, yeah.
They were both great. But I find like, I'll find a new favorite part of an episode each time I watch because it's just great. So anyways, I'll move on from Seinfeld because even if you guys do enjoy the show like me, we probably should. But when I hear slander of something like that I love so dearly, it's just, I can't just ignore it. I just can't do it.
I choose not to run.
And there's not many other shows, if any, that I can think of. Because I hate laugh tracks.
You want to talk about something that's not aged well. Laugh tracks.
Yes,
that's absolutely something that hasn't aged well. Yeah. You hear a laugh track in a show today and you're thinking, what are you doing?
What is this?
What in God's name are we doing?
What? Our lives. What kind of lives are these? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
That should be the theme of this show. What are we doing? What kind of lives are these? All right, you are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton. Stick around.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thornton's.
That's right. Let's get a roll call here on a Friday morning. You are in the Red Zone. My name's Nick Coffey, the marvelous Matt Allen alongside. You guys are with us as well, and that's all we need. All right, 502-653-0790. That's the text line. Feel free to text away. Questions, complaints, compliments, insults, whatever you've got, go ahead and send them in. You can also get in touch on Twitter at The Card Connect and at 790 KRD. And on Twitter, there's been a lot of talk about the Imani Bates situation as far as – because, look, it wasn't just the fact that he was underwhelming in his one season at Memphis. It was that, you know, he left the team and some said the injury wasn't legit and he just was tired of being out there, maybe damaging his draft stock with more and more games where he was just not playing well. And look, there may be some truth to that. I really don't know. But even if there's baggage – I think Kenny Payne is kind of in a can't-lose situation with Imani Bates. So the question that I got was, hey, Louisville starts their – and this is true. I didn't realize this. But Louisville will start their first, like, summer session of basketball practices or workouts or whatever they want to call it in late May. And Imani Bates apparently wants to come to Louisville but is on his own time. Now, I want to be clear. He may not come to Louisville. He may go elsewhere. He's got some other options. But it is becoming more loud out there that even some of the schools he listed in, like, his top six aren't recruiting him. Now, I think some of that is due to the fact that they don't have scholarships. A lot of teams already have their full roster. They don't have room for him. And there may be some others that were so turned off by the recruitment in high school, and maybe they've just heard about the entourage that comes with Bates, his handlers, his father, and they just say, look, we're staying away from that. So even if that's legit, I still think Kenny Payne is in a can't-lose situation because here's the facts. If, in fact, Bates comes to Louisville and it doesn't work out and he's a head case and he just fizzles out and maybe decides to, you know, opt out. I don't predict that would happen, but if it did, nobody's going to blame Kitty Payne. They're going to blame him. They're going to blame Bates and say, man, this guy can't get out of his own way. He's got people around him that don't have his best interest at heart. So, yeah, I mean, I guess he could come and not work out and it wouldn't be a great look, but like nobody's going to blame Kenny Payne. Kenny Payne's in his first season at Louisville. He needs players. They've got 4 scholarships available. And if it works out, great. Here's the thing. If, in fact, it does work out well, where he plays and is a good player, high caliber ACC talent that projects well to the NBA once again, Kenny Payne's going to get a ton of credit because of how poorly it went at Memphis with Penny Hardaway. So I'm for those asking, I'm not worried about that. You know, him wanting to be on his own time and doing his own thing, and if he really wanted to come here, he'd commit and show up as soon as possible to buy in and get the work under Kitty Payne. I get all that. But I just think it's a can't-lose situation for KP. I really do. All right, so if ACC football decides to get rid of the divisions and go with this proposed plan out there where you have 3 permanent opponents every year, and then you play 5 different randos every season to make up your 8-game league schedule, the 3 teams that I would want to play, number 1 is a no-brainer. That's Florida State. And it's not because I think they're a rival, because they're not, but they're still a brand that even when they're down and you beat them, it means more than beating Wake Forest. It means more than beating Virginia. And I don't think they're going to be down that long. So it'd be a really good permanent opponent that you play every year. And again, I'll go on record. I think Mike Norvell will have a good year at Florida State this year. I do. I think he's a good coach. I don't know why it took so long to get it rolling. But I think he will do well. Now, will they win national championships? Probably not. Are they going to compete for the playoff? Probably not anytime soon. But I think they will be back to where they are one of the better teams in this league. So that's I want one of the permanent opponents to be like one of the league powers. I would not want to play Clemson every year. Now, I think it depends on kind of where you are. Like maybe we reset that in 10 years when because Clemson's the team you want on your schedule if you know you're a legitimate like potential playoff contender because you're going to need to play them in order to boost your schedule because I mean if they get back to even being close to where they were during the last 5 years outside of last year, that would be a monster win. But I would want to play them every year. I'd like the thought of them being on the schedule maybe every other year, every 2 years, because there may be a certain year where, yeah, you don't want them because they're elite and you know you want to get to 8 or 9, and that would be an automatic loss given where you are. So I wouldn't want to play Clemson every year, but I would want to play Florida State. I would also want to play NC State every year because, to me, that's a team you feel comparable to, and there's going to be certain years where they're really good. And the third one, I really don't care. I don't want it to be Virginia or Wake Forest because I'm just tired of playing them. We've played them every. Part of me says North Carolina would be a good other permanent opponent. Maybe Virginia Tech, but then if that's the case, Virginia Tech, Florida State, and NC State being your permanent opponents, there's a scenario where you get to a certain point and you're playing every year 3 of the best teams in the league because all those teams could be really good. So I'm out on. A lot of people said they want to play Clemson. I like the thought of being in a big game. It's not that I'm running scared. But you'll still play them every now and then. But the permanent opponents for me, for sure, are Florida State, NC State, and then I'd probably lean North Carolina more so than Virginia Tech. But that's just me. And then again, from there, you just have the random toss-ins where you've got the other 5 would just be, you know, anybody on any given year. It is wild, though. Louisville has been in the ACC. This will be the, let's see, was it 14 they were the first year? Yeah, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. This will be the 9th year in the ACC, and Louisville has still never played at Virginia Tech. Like, that's just silly. It really is. Somebody asked if the SEC would ever consider getting rid of divisions. I don't think so. I think I don't know what they're going to do because you got to keep in mind, they've got Texas and Oklahoma on the way. So, do they realign? And because obviously, Texas and Oklahoma would have to be on the West. They'll probably do pods in the SEC. Rather than divisions where they have a similar situation where you have some permanent opponents in your pod and then you just randomly play other teams, which I think that's the best way to go. All right, let's see here. Let's see. All right, we'll save this for on the other side because it's going to take a little time, but I do want to run through the richest athletes list because, one, it makes us all feel very poor, but also there are some people on this list that I think will it'll genuinely surprise you to see where they are. All right. I'd say the thing people are reacting to the most this week have been the whole Brohm Satterfield thing. And if you are just now joining us, you know, we don't need to rehash it because I don't have anything new that I haven't already said many times. But those that think it's not two added things here. One, it is a story. Like, not to say that it's a humongous deal, but Satterfield being in the situation that he's in year four, with it being such a critical year for him where he's got to have a lot of success. I mean, I say he's got a lot to have success, but I'm not even the one making that decision. Maybe the athletic director would say, no, 6-6, 7-5, that's good enough. You know, he's not losing. He didn't have a losing record, so we'll keep him around for another 4 or 5 years. I don't agree with that, but again, I've never tried to act as if I speak for anybody but myself. I know others do that, but I mean, there are many that have a platform that said after this past season that there's just no way he's back. And, you know, again, that he's back. He's the coach. And it's weird because I'm now being accused of being like anti-Satterfield. People say you clearly have such a dislike for him. I don't. I think he's a very likable guy, and I want him to do well. But little do you forget, like, I feel like I was one of few that weren't calling for his head and his job after this past season. Now, if you could have gotten Jeff Brohm and it could have been executed, I would have done it just because I think Brohm would give you the jolt that you need to get fans excited. But to me, it was always this was going to be the year that decides. And look, Vince Tyree, when he met with everybody on his way out, I'm not even sure what the question was, but he said it, and it's spot on. There's no in-between here. This is the year. You're in a position where the school's got enough money to where they can buy out his contract after this upcoming season and move on from him. It's not substantial. Or if he does well, you lock him in for a while. One more thing to add here, because this did come up yesterday and I forgot to read it. But somebody asked, could it be a perfect scenario where he does really well? We know Brohm wants to come home, and then Satterfield actually gets another job and gets a chance to leave because he can read the room that everybody wants Brohm still. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's possible. But since he's been here, like, Satterfield flirted with South Carolina, and that worked out poorly for him. In fact, it couldn't have worked out worse as far as how he strategically handled that situation. But keep in mind, they didn't hire him. His agent told him to go do that for a power play to get leverage, and it was just a terrible decision. Like, Satterfield hasn't been offered another job since he's been here. At least not one that he would leave for that's better than Louisville. You know, so with that said, he could go 8-4 in this notion that, yeah, if he goes 8-4, he's on his way out. Where's he going? Like, not to say another school wouldn't hire him, because, again, I don't even think he's a bad coach. But, you know, Jeff Brohm just won 8 games at Purdue and beat 2 top 10 teams, and he didn't get another job. So I guess I could see that being a scenario, because Satterfield's not a dummy. He can read the room. He knows the Brohm stuff's out there. But is he going to walk away? If he has a good year, he's not going to walk unless he just has a really, really great opportunity elsewhere. And if that's the case, then good on him. And if that's the case, I won't be critical. I mean, I would say, look, you left it better than when you got it. And if he did so well that another school wanted him and it was a better opportunity for him, that would lead to you potentially being able to bring Brohm back. So, yeah, I get you. I hear what you're saying on that. I just don't necessarily see that playing out because he wouldn't really be a sexy hire for a Power 5 program that would be a better situation for him than the one he's in at Louisville. Now, with that said, it may just be a read in the room kind of thing. That he's like, yeah, you know what? This job at Iowa State, because Matt Campbell's finally left. And I'm just throwing out a hypothetical here. He may say, you know what? That's not a better job than Louisville. But look, this thing has run its course. These guys, this fan base is too much. You know, they clearly want their own back, and it's just time. Like, that could happen, but I just don't necessarily predict that. All right, you are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's. You guys know the drill. 502-653-0790. That is the text line. Feel free to text in.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's.
All right, so each year Sportico releases the 100 highest paid athletes in the world. Matt, have you seen the list?
No, I have not.
I bet you can guess the top
I bet
three.
I can't.
The top three. I bet you can guess the top three.
I doubt it.
Give it a shot.
All right. Ronaldo.
Yep, he's three.
Messi.
Yep, he's two. You got this.
Is it still Tiger?
No.
Okay, well then the top paid athlete in the world?
By 4.6 million, or 4.9 million, meaning he makes that much more than anybody else.
Yeah.
He happens to play the shooty hoops game, basketball.
LeBron?
LeBron.
Oh, because of all the endorsements.
LeBron's 90.
That's right. They add endorsements into this.
LeBron's
sorry.
$90 million is an endorsement is more than anybody makes.
Who?
LeBron James.
That's right. So LeBron, Messi, Ronaldo, then Neymar. So three of the top four are soccer players. Canelo Alvarez, the boxer, is number five. Who's making money in boxing? If these
that's what
guys...
that's who I, because I forgot that they put endorsements into this. I was thinking a boxer,
yeah,
and so I was like, I was trying to think, okay, who's fought in the last year?
I guess it's true. They are. It's a one-on-one sport, and they get a collection of.
Oh
like,
no, they make yeah, they make yeah. great. I mean, per event, they make more than like normal athletes, like the high level guys, because they have to make it in the ring, because I don't think those guys make as much as endorsements.
Well, and they don't. It's not as something you can do for as long, right? I mean,
yeah.
And so again, this is insane. In the top 10, when it comes to endorsement money, the lowest amount of money per endorsement for anybody in the top 10 outside of Alvarez is James Harden, who makes $36 million in endorsements. Alvarez makes $84 million in salary slash winnings, but only $5 million in endorsements. Again, nobody
see what
else,
I'm saying?
Yeah, nobody else in the top 10 makes less than 36. Well, Tiger makes $65 million in endorsements.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I thought it was Tiger, because, I mean, he still makes amazing amount of endorsements.
Yep.
And, he's not playing
so
that
rounding
much.
Out the top 10, Steph Curry, 6, Durant, KD, number 7, Federer, number 8, James Harden, number 9, and Tiger is number 10. Number 11...
How is James Harden making $36 million in endorsements?
James Harden is the highest paid guy with Adidas.
Okay.
And James Harden, I'm stealing this, so I'm going to give him credit, but somebody said this last night, and James Harden is the new Darren Williams in the NBA. Like, he just lost it. Like, he's not in any, like, he was the fourth best player on the Sixers in this postseason. Like, he's lost it. But yet he's still making a whole lot of money.
Well, he has to be. If James Harden, 4 years ago, if you had said James Harden's going to be the fourth best player on his team, people would have said, well, then he must be 50 years old.
Yeah. So Matt Stafford's number 11. Does that surprise you?
No, because he just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's only got his $73.3 million in total earnings, 70.3 of that are from salary.
So yeah, he just moved. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He just moved to LA and he won the whole thing. So
that's another reminder that was a big gamble for them and it paid off.
Yeah.
Because they gave him a ton of money.
Yeah, they did.
Giannis, number 12. No surprise there. Russell Westbrook, number 13.
That's not a surprise because he has a deal it makes him not be able to move.
And also, he makes $36 million or $30 million in endorsements from not just Jumpman, but the Jordan brand. He's the lead guy for that. Tyson Fury, another boxer. Number 14, and then Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, 15. Tom Brady, 16. Deshaun Watson, 17. Klay Thompson, 18. That's a little surprising, in my opinion, but that's mostly just because he hasn't played much because of injuries. Lewis Hamilton, is he a driver?
I think
he's
right.
Yeah, he's 19. Naomi Osaka, the woman tennis player, she's 20.
That's not surprising.
Nope. And check this out. She made $1.2 million in winnings slash earnings, but she makes $52 million in endorsements.
There you go.
Aaron Rodgers, 21. Conor McGregor, 22. Damian Lillard, 23. Mike Trout, 24. So it took the 24th highest paid athlete to come from baseball. 23, I don't know how surprising that is, but...
It's a little sad, honestly.
It is, yeah. And $14 million is his endorsements, which, again, that's a lot of money, but is there a better player in the league than him in the last 5 years?
No.
Yeah. So after Mike Trout, there's another soccer player who I got to admit I'm not familiar with, Kylian Mbappe, who's 25th. Kylian.
Okay, Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah. And then Pat Mahomes, 26. Kirk Cousins, 27. That's the one that I'm looking at. I'm like, what? Kirk Cousins is the 27th.
You like that, right?
Exactly. He likes it. He likes his money. Kyrie Irving, 28. Paul George, 29. And then another soccer player named Gareth Bale is 30th. Tied with a Red Bull Racing guy named Max Verstappen. So I'm not going to give you all of them, but there are some that if you just scroll through here, just like John Wall's 37th. John Wall hasn't played basketball since my son was born. He'll turn two next year. That's a fact. Like that's insane.
You're telling me your son hasn't seen John Wall play?
Never. He hasn't lived yet, right?
I mean, get some tapes out, Nick.
You know, this is wild to me. I'm not surprised given what it turned into, but Jake Paul is on this list. Are we convinced he's really an athlete? Like, again, he's more athletic than me. He beat me up in a boxing match, but Jake Paul has won $30 million in the fights that he's had that most people say aren't even real fights. They're publicity stunts, and he's made $7 million in endorsements. I would say just looking through athletes that really, like Tobias Harris, I mean, what? He's number 60. He's making $32.5 million in the league. Blake Griffin's still in the top 100, which surprised me a little bit. So Trevor Lawrence is 72nd. And again, let me double check this. Yeah, Lamar Jackson is not in the top 100.
That's his choice, though.
Has to be.
As soon as he wants
yes,
to be, he
yes,
will be.
You're right.
He is ready to be in the top 100.
But I also
he's
feel like I feel, and I would love to know his. He's not listed here. I would love to know his endorsements because that's why I'm not being critical. It's his right to do it, and so far he's played everything correctly. But he should have an agent. He would have more endorsements.
That's his choice, too.
And maybe he doesn't want to do endorsements because he's his own guy. He's very unique. Yeah. He doesn't like the spotlight all that much. So, like, it's whatever. I'm sure he's not hurting for money. But if I was an agent representing a guy that had that likability, that star power, he has an MVP trophy, the league respects him, like, he's – I just feel like, you know, Lamar, hire me as your agent. I'll get you deals. But you're not getting Thornton's from me.
Uh-oh.
That's mine.
Oh, dear.
It's my endorsement. All right. You are in the Red Zone. You know the drill. We are fueled by Thornton's, and this is 790 KRD. Take us with you wherever you go. iHeartRadio app, listen live at 790KRD.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.